All right, last week we talked about Lord's not pouring out his wrath. And this is going to be part two. And look at some things, because all I've heard all this week is about signs and wonders and this and that and the other about all that went on in Japan. And I'm going to show you the difference between the second coming, the Lord coming back, and the rapture. And people mix the two up, and they use scripture to do it. And we're going to look at some things tonight and show you that it's total opposite. So anyway, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. I want to read this again. I read it last week, but we'll go read it again. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, let's go up to verse 21. It says, "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." So I know preaching is what saves people. And we're living in a day nowadays that you hear very little preaching. You hear a lot of preaching, but you hear very little preaching of the cross that saves people. And the preaching of the cross is Jesus Christ went to the cross, died for our sins, buried, and rose again for our justification. You hear very little of that. You hear repent, be good, water baptism, ask Jesus in your heart, and a little bit of everything under the sun. But you hear very little of the gospel of Christ, and it is the power of God unto salvation. Look in verse 22. "For the Jews require what? Sign. And the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, and unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and wisdom of God." So the gospel is the power. And it says, verse 22 again, "For the Jews require a sign." So we're going to look at some signs today, what Jews require. The body of Christ don't require that. The body of Christ does what 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. "For we walk by what? Faith, not by sight." If the world could see that today, the body of Christ should be walking by faith. It pleased God by faith. Faith what pleased God. Faith is what everything we have is wrapped around our Christianity. It's the faith of Christ that saves us. Paul talks about keeping the faith. And it's very important. But the world today, sign, sign, sign. That's all you hear. Look at the signs of the time. Look at here. Look at earthquakes. Look at that. Jews require a sign, not the body of Christ. And they mix the two. And that's why it's so important to do what 2 Timothy 2:15 says. Rightly divide the word of truth. And that's why people are so confused today to trying to look for a sign when we walk by faith. So go to Matthew 24, and that's where we're going to be mostly tonight. And this might take three lessons. But go to Matthew chapter 24. And we're going to compare some things. And we're going to be reading a lot of that.
Why was that last sentence there in the quotes?
"We walk by faith, not by sight."
Yeah, I remember the preacher telling it one time, but I can't remember what it said.
Is making it bold from what I'm saying. It's like, we walk by faith, not by sight. I think it's just like a bold statement, like, hey, and it's just shooting out there. We don't have signs. We walk by faith. But I could be wrong, but that's the way I think it is. But Matthew chapter 24, let's go to verse 3. And this he's talking to who? To the Jews. He's not talking to the body of Christ. If people get this, in Matthew chapter 24, he's talking to the 12. Look in verse 3. And the people are out there, which are the Jews. In verse 3. "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy what? Coming, and of the end of the world." So he's asking them a good question. They're asking him a good question, ain't they? Well, there's going to be signs about his coming, and we're going to look at it. In verse 4. "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And these shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. And all these are the beginning of sorrows." So all your life you've been taught that's what to look for, ain't you? And you have a few of these things and say, well, the Lord's coming back today. Well, I want to make clear right now, The rapture is going to happen before the second coming. This has all got to do with the second coming. The rapture is the next thing in God's plan. Is when the body of Christ gets full, the rapture is going to happen. I'm going to show you why this is not the rapture. Go to verse 9. And then shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because of iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure until the what? End shall be saved. Well, folks, in the gospel of the grace of God, are we enduring to the end to be saved? No, Jesus Christ endured that cross for us to be saved, didn't he? If your people compare spiritual things with spiritual, scripture with scripture, make a note. But he that shall endure unto the end. All this has got to do with tribulation. These saints have got to endure to the end. That's why they're going to be hated and persecuted. And in verse 9 it says, shall be killed. They shall kill you. Well, folks, people's not killing people in the body of Christ right now. At least in America, they're not. One day it might get to that, but it's not got to do with the body of Christ. You don't have to endure nothing to be saved. You believe the gospel. Christ died for your sins, buried, and rose again. Look in verse 14. And this gospel of the grace of God, does it say that? Nope. It said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness unto all nations. Then shall the end come. It's the gospel of the kingdom. It's not the gospel of the grace of God that we preach today. I mean, common sense. You ain't going to be a rocket scientist to see that. 13, you have to endure to the end to be saved. 14, it's the gospel of the kingdom. That's why the body of Christ is in a mess. They mix the gospel of the kingdom with the gospel of grace of God, and it ain't nothing but mass confusion. And you mix the two, and you know nothing. And then when you talk about it, it just makes things not make sense. But go in verse 15. And when therefore shall you see the abomination of desolation? That's got to do with him setting up that kingdom. He's going to go in there. He's going to say, I am God, worship me. We ain't got that today. That's going to be in the future. We ain't got to worry about that. Next thing I'd like to say is going to be the rapture. It says, when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place where you read, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Are we in Judea here in North Carolina? We got to flee to the mountains. Common sense. Nope. Now, if you're a Gentile left behind and never heard of the gospel, you might have to do that. But the people that are listening to my voice right now, you're without excuse. If you heard that Christ died for your sins, buried, and rose again, you're without excuse. You'll be sent a strong illusion and believe a lie and be damned. Verse 17, let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. Woe unto them that are with child in those and to them that give suck in those days. I mean, they're going to have to flee for their life. That's why it's saying, whoa, if somebody's pregnant, they're not going to be able to run, are they? They're going to be able to run very fast. Anyway, verse 20, but pray ye that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Sabbath day, they couldn't go nowhere, could they? Under law, not under law. Another thing, pray your flight be not in winter. Winter time's rough when you're trying to run and escape from the Antichrist. We ain't got to worry about that. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not known since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. So this tribulation is going to be so great that it's never been. Folks, we're not going through that today. When God pours out His wrath on this world, they ain't got a clue. That little earthquake in Japan ain't going to have a... That'd be like me just thumping an ant compared to what God's going to do to this planet one day. He's not pouring out His wrath. He's pouring out His grace. Verse 22, and except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there he is, there, believe it not. For there shall be arise false Christ, false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, and so much that if it were possible, that they shall deceive the very elect. Why do I know that you ain't got to worry about that? Because we don't have wonders and signs. And another thing, why will they not have to worry about it? Think about it. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets that says shall great signs and wonders, so much that it were possible that it shall deceive the very elect. The reason they're not is they got an unction. Go to 1 John 2:20. And everybody loves claiming 1 John 1:9. Well, look at this, if this is to the body of Christ. And I'm not being a smart elk. I just want you to believe your Bible. 1 John. Says, go up to verse 19. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 19. Let's go up to 18. Little children, is the last time, and ye have heard that Antichrist shall come. Even now are these many Antichrists, same thing he's talking about, whereby we know that it is the last time. Well, folks, it's not the last time in the dispensation of grace. We're living in the dispensation of grace. It's perilous time, but not last time. It says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would not doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not of us. And that's got to do with the verse I just read. But ye have an what? An unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. We don't know all things, do we? We have to study. That's why we're here at Bible class tonight, studying.
Teenagers do.
Yeah, the teenagers think they do, don't they? Yeah, good. There you go. Verse 27. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you all things, and the truth is no lie, even as it hath taught you, and ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him. That's why they ain't got to worry about getting what? Getting deceived. Because they're going to have an unction and know all things. The Holy Spirit's going to be in them, and they're going to know all things. It's like Peter. It was a type of it in Acts 2. Peter knew when they come and lie to him, man, that's Sapphira. He said, you didn't lie to me, you lied to the Holy Ghost. How did he know that? He had an unction. And that's the way it's going to be in the tribulation. Me and you got to study to write the Bible, the word of truth. We don't have an unction. So that shows you that's not got to do with dispensation of grace. Verse 25. Behold, I've told you before, wherefore if you shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert. Go not forth. Behold, he's in secret chambers. Believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And that's why people bury people, you know, from east to west. That's where they get that from. The second coming, you know how they bury, which way they bury them? Is it, you know, tombstones? That's the why they set them toward
east to west.
East to west, yeah. So that's why they do it, because they said the Son of Man, and that's where they get it from the Scripture. Because they think they're going to jump out of that tomb and see the Lord come. And that's where they get that from. Well, the rapture's going on. You're asleep in Christ if you're saved. And we'll see that in a minute. Where it says, wherefore, let's go to verse 27 again. For as lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even to the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For whereas the carcass is there, where the eagles be gathered together. In verse 29, if this don't show you, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. We have not seen that day yet, have we? Matthew 24, verse 29. And the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Stars ain't fell yet, but one day they're going to. So that little earthquake over there is just a... Ain't got one bit to do with this verse. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Verse 31. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of the trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. And most people think that's the rapture. They think that the angels are going to come and gather them together. I'm going to show you that's not the rapture. That's a bad day, and I'm going to show you why. Go to Matthew 13. Matthew 13. Hold your hand there. We'll be back there in a second. Matthew chapter 13. Go to verse 36. Here's what these angels are doing. Then Jesus sent unto his multitude away and went into the house, and the disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that soweth them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, what we just read. And the reapers are what? Angels. That's what they're going to gather. And as therefore the tares are gathered and what? Burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his what? Angels. and shall gather out his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Does that sound like the rapture to you? That's a bad day when he's going to do that at his coming, ain't it? He's going to gather the tares, is he not? He says he's going to burn them. So I'd mark that beside, go back to Matthew 24 and mark it. I'd mark Matthew 13, 36 to 42 when you want to show people that ain't the rapture. Verse 32, now learn the parable of the fig tree when his branches is yet tender and put him forth leaves. You know this summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when you shall see all these things, know that that is near, even as the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. And the big thing now is they try to say, well, Israel was started a nation in 1948, and now it's so many years, and that's the generation. The generation talking not passing away is the generation's going through this. It ain't the one over there in Israel. It's the generation. It's the generation's not going to pass away that's going through this tribulation. It ain't got to do with 1948 when they became a nation, because God don't see them as a nation. If anybody over there is saved, he sees them in the body of Christ. The ones that ain't don't even believe that Jesus Christ is Jesus Christ. So that's not the Israel of this Bible that he's going to gather eventually in one day. Verse 34, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of the day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah, how you say that, Noah? It ain't Noah, but it's Noah. It's a little different. Entered into the ark. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. The way people take that is the rapture. That's not the rapture neither. Taken away, what are they taking away in? Wrath. Think about it. In the days of Noah, what were all the people out there doing? They were drinking and eating and marrying, wasn't it? And the day it took them was wrath took them. Look in verse 39. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away. People want to say that's the rapture. No, taken in wrath. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. The one is taken is taken in wrath with them angels gathering them. It ain't got to do. Actually, in that thing, it'd be good to be left behind in the tribulation. It ain't just the opposite. That's the way the devil works, though. He tricks people. Verse 41, two women shall be girded at the mill, and one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch, therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doeth come. And folks, it just goes on and on. That's not the rapture. Look in, I'm going to show you what the rapture is. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And that's why it's so important to compare spiritual things with spiritual. They're taken in wrath. But look in 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 15. But you don't get that on tape every day, do you? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. Now this, try again. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit what? The kingdom of God. Neither through corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a sign. Does that say that? Nope. It says, behold, I show you a mystery. Now what is a mystery? Something that's never been shown. I mean, think about it. A mystery is something that's never been told. Or it looks like to me Jesus Christ gave me to show Paul a mystery according to the Scriptures, didn't he? And us, if we listen to it. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? Changed. That's got to do with the rapture. In a moment, in a twinkling of the eye, at the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruption shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable always, abounding in the work of the Lord, For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Folks, that's the rapture. We're going to be changed. We're not looking for signs and wonders and Jesus coming back, second coming. We're looking for Him coming from the clouds. Well, go with me right over here in 1 Thessalonians and I'll show you what I'm talking about. 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 4. Let's go to verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. It says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren," and there's a lot of ignorant brethren out there, "concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as other which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of our Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself," does that say angels? Don't say angels gathering the elect like everybody teaches you in Matthew 24, does it? Nope, it says, "For the Lord Himself's coming after me. For the Lord Himself's coming after you if you're saved. For the Lord Himself's coming after the body of Christ. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall every be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." And it's comfort when you know somebody's saved and going to be with the Lord. You know that? And that's why it's a mystery. It was a secret kept before beginning of the world. He gave it to Paul. And that's what our glorious hope, you say. Well, the rapture's not in the Bible. Well, next time somebody says the rapture's not in the Bible, it's a Greek word meaning catch up. Verse 17, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds." Folks, I'm looking for the Lord coming down to the clouds and calling me up. That's what I'm looking for.
Will you read the first 3 verses of chapter 5 right there too?
Yeah. But oh yes, that's a good one. "But of times and the season, brethren, you have no need that I what? Write unto you." You know why I ain't got to write unto signs? We ain't here. Another thing, we don't require signs, do we? It's a very good point, verse you pointed out. "But the times and the season, brethren, you know not neither. We write unto you." Why? It's a mystery. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night. For when they shall peace and safety, then sudden destruction come upon the tribe, upon a woman with a child, that they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of light." You people that are saved, we're the child of light. We ain't got to worry about darkness taking us. We're going to be out of here. As soon as that last person gets saved, and I wish to go and get saved, we can get out of here. "And the children of day, for you're not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." And it goes on about verse 8, "But let us, which are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love and helmet of hope of our salvation. For God hath not appointed us to what? Wrath." And I'm talking about the reason He wrote that, because we're not in wrath. God's not pouring out His wrath. We're not in wrath. It says, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but obtained a salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who," what? "Died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore," there's that word again, "comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do." There's comfort in being saved. There's great peace. I talked to you last week about peace and joy and mercy and grace. That's why God's pouring out in the dispensation of grace. Now, if you want to put yourself under Matthew 24 and worry yourself to death and look for signs and wonder, go ahead. They're not there. The body of Christ is the next thing that happened on the list is the rapture, getting called up out of here. That's the thing I'm looking for. I'm looking for Him coming up and shouting up hither, or whatever He does, to get out of this world. And He says it's an evil present world and we're going to be delivered from it. And that's why go back to Thessalonians, that's where our hope is, where we're just talking about. People think, mama and papa's up there shouting, can't wait till I get to heaven. Well, look what the Bible says. Verse 13 again. "But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." If you're dead, if you dropped over dead, you're asleep in Christ. That's why He says, Verse 14, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which are what? Asleep in Jesus will God bring with him. And verse 16, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of archangel, the trump of God, and dead in Christ shall rise first. They're going to rise out of sleep. That's what they're going to rise out of. They're dead. They're asleep in Christ. They're not up there waiting and shouting, saying, come on now. Come on, Alan, do good. Come on. You're asleep in Christ. When you take your last breath, if you're saved, you go asleep in that body he's got prepared for you. That's why he says in verse 15, for this which we say unto you by the word of our Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which what? Are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and then Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. Some them's up in the clouds, ain't they? They're asleep in Christ in spiritual bodies. And it says, caught up in the clouds to meet them, meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Folks, it's comforting to know Brother Moore, the man that I probably love as much as anybody, taught me this Bible, that preached for 50 years and went to go to sleep in the Lord last year. He's asleep in that body. And if we stay and remain, and the Lord shouted today, guess what? The Lord's going to bring Brother Moore in that body down halfway to wherever there is, and we're going up there to meet him and then forever be with the Lord. And that's what it's all about. My relatives are not the ones that are saying that up there shouting, come on, Alan. They're resting in that spiritual body and asleep. And we're here and we're going to be caught up with them and our vital bodies be changed. And that's what it's all about. It's hope. What's our hope in? The rapture. I'm not looking for the Antichrist. I'm not looking for signs and wonders. You know what I'm looking for? The next person I can share the gospel with. The next person I can walk down this road or see or at the gym or wherever I go in life. Tell them, hey, you know what? Jesus Christ loved you and died for you on that cross. The only thing you have to do is trust in the finished work of that cross, that he died for all your sins, buried, and rose again, and you be saved. That simple. You mean the only thing I got to do is believe? Yep, it's the only thing you got to do is believe that he died for me. See yourself as a sinner. He died for me personally. And trust in that finished work, and you can have peace and joy what I'm talking about. God is not some mean man up in heaven pouring out his wrath now. God's not just beating people over the head. God's pouring out his love and grace. And you talking about the greatest love? He gave his son to die for us. What greater love than a man that never sinned, God Almighty's son, come down here without sin, without guile, and he was willing to go to that cross and die for us. What greater love for rotten, stinking sinners like ourselves that Jesus Christ would come and die for us, and God would give his son to do that. That's love, folks. God's pouring out his love. But one day when you reject the gospel, he will pour out his wrath. I didn't write this note. Where's it at? Said it's them a strong illusion. Where's it at?
Second Thessalonians, chapter 2.
Second Thessalonians, chapter 2.
It's the well wherever you want to start. 8, 9.
Okay, yeah. Let's go up to that. Verse 7. For the mystery of the iniquity will already work. Sorry, Second Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity will already work. Only he who now let will let until he be taken out of the way. And that be taken out of the way is the body of Christ. They think it's the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's always going to be with people in different dispensations. People say, oh, it's the Holy Spirit. No, it's the body. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after working of Satan with all power and what? Signs. There are your signs again, and lying wonders. And with all deceitfulness of unrighteousness, and them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be what? Saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be what? Damned, who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. The reason they're going to be damned is because when I share the gospel, or whoever shares the gospel with you, you reject it. That's the only reason you're going to be damned. Not because it's something God want you to be. God's will have all men to be saved and come to knowledge of truth. You're causing your own self to be damned when you don't accept what Christ did for you on that cross. And he said for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie, and that they all might be damned who believe not the truth but have pleasure in unrighteousness. And folks, the only thing you got to do is believe the gospel and have peace. God is not trying to destroy Japan. Like I said last week, Japan's got ambassadors over there. It's just the way the world is in this evil, cursed world, and storms happen, weather happens, and things happen. But when God pours out his wrath, people will know it. But right now, he's pointing out his grace and his mercy and love. And there's no better dispensation in this Bible to live in than what we have. Only thing God tells us to do today is to believe. He didn't tell us to build an ark. He didn't tell us to overcome. He didn't tell us to keep the commandments to be saved. He didn't tell us, here's 630 some laws to keep. He said, the only thing you have to do is believe that my son went to that cross and died for your sins. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. The most simplest thing. And what does man do? There's pride and envy and arrogance. That's too simple. I got to do something. And you'll do something. You'll end up in hell is what you'll do. So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved.